and welcome to the first By The Min MFC podcast of 2015. Tonight, John Berry joins regulars Jay and Buster. How's things, John?
Not bad, thanks, Andy. How's everyone else?
Aye, good.
Bearing up, considering good Motherwell's life. Start to 2015, I would say. It's certainly been a ruffian. Hamilton Accies New Year's Day, a 5-0 defeat, a 2-0 defeat to Aberdeen on Sunday. Jay, the Accies game in particular, a game that we expected better from yesterday against an in-form Aberdeen side. Perhaps the result wasn't as much of a surprise, but it's been a hard week, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think I don't want to say too much on the Accies game because I wasn't there, so it would be unfair to sort of be too critical, although I have obviously read about the game and spoke to people. One of the things I noticed about the Accies game, and obviously you'll be able to shed more light on it having been at the match, I noticed a lot like the word gutless and that kind of idea being used for the Accies game. So although it's obviously humiliating to lose 5-0 to your local rivals, it wasn't surprising to me. You know, I've said a few times that the mentality of some of the players just isn't right. There's a couple of players who are quite happy to sort of swan about when we're, you know, up the top end of the league, but they're just not cut out to play for a team that's struggling. So, you know, it might be because I wasn't there, but I was taking out that positive from that game, the fact that you learn more about your players when, you know, in the tough times than you do when you're grinding out results. So hopefully Barraclough at least identified who's willing to work and who's not from that match. The Aberdeen game, again, there was, you know, wasn't great. I thought we came into a game a bit more in the second half. Overall, again, still some of the same players shirking out of challenges and not putting the effort in. But I'm slightly optimistic. I'm not sure why. I think it is just because I think that Barraclough must be seeing the same things that we're seeing. And I'd be surprised if, you know, the players that I'm talking about, the players who aren't cut out to put the effort in, I'd be surprised if he doesn't look to sort of move them on or drop them out of the team. So although it's been a difficult couple of games, I think that Barraclough will learn a lot, and I think that's a positive at least.
John, I stressed to you before we came on that I really don't want to spend too much time talking about that Hamilton game. It's still a wee bit raw, to be honest, but talking of performances, I can't think of a worse Motherwell performance that I've ever seen. It was just so flat from very early on. It was evident that Motherwell weren't at the races, and 5-0 was their just reward. It could have been more. It should have been more, perhaps. It was hard to see how they were going to respond yesterday, and I'm not completely convinced they did from the first half that I saw. What was your take on Aberdeen yesterday?
I thought Aberdeen was an improvement, but let's be honest, anything would be an improvement in 5-0 to Hamilton. You know, we shouldn't be getting beat 5-0 off anybody in this league, I don't think, let alone Hamilton. And I don't mean that in an arrogant way that Motherwell were brilliant. I just mean in a way that I don't think any team should really be getting beat 5-0 off another team in this league. But Aberdeen, I thought, yep, marked improvement. There's still a few players hiding, as Jay was saying there. I really wasn't impressed with Lionel Ainsworth. I thought he was posted missing for a lot of the game, and I was very surprised they actually made the 90 minutes. And I think if there was something else on the bench, it would have probably been taken off.
Buster, I know you went to the Accies game and were there yesterday. For me, there was no kind of ambition to go forward and get at Aberdeen yesterday, and it felt almost inevitable that Aberdeen were going to eventually take one of their chances. What also struck me was the first time that we had actually ventured forward and won a corner, Aberdeen broke away and scored the opening goal from.
Well, as you said, I wasn't at the Hamilton game, so I can't really comment on it. Luckily for me, I was lying hungover in my bed, so dodged a bullet there.
No better cure.
I'm the opposite of Jay, really. I was feeling a bit confident going in towards the Hamilton game. But since then, I don't know, I just don't see what's happening. Barraclough's obviously made these comments about how he wants to play and how it's, you know, how he's looking at this and he's looking at that. To be honest, we have yet to see any changes other than, you know, maybe throwing in the young boys. I think maybe Luke Watt was put in, obviously because we've not got anybody putting in Don Thomas as well, and yelling. But other than that, there's no real changes to the style of play or how we're even trying to get teams. The problem, I think the problem's coming from midfield. We've got one midfielder in there, Keith Lasley. He's 35-year-old. He's running about like a headless chicken. And, you know, that's not what he should be doing at this age. So, as I say, it's difficult to see, or it's difficult for me, sorry, to feel confident about any of that, because I just don't see any changes at all. I know he's only been in the job a short while, but I don't see any sort of changes there, and it's kind of worrying for me.
See, Buster, you pointed out in the last podcast that you thought that the St Mirren game and the Thistle game as well were perhaps not really reflective of how well we played. We got 6 points, I know, but did we deserve 6 points from these two games? I'm not sure. You kind of indicated that you felt the same way. Has Barraclough perhaps now will have a better idea of the job ahead, given they had maybe a wee bit of a false dawn early on?
I think so, aye. And just to make it, just to, so I can put it out there as well, I'm not getting a Barraclough in any whatsoever, you know. He's coming in, he's saying the right things, he's talking a good game. He's not very many options to change it, and that's the problem. He's going to have to look at that, look at who he's going to bring in and let go. Understand the day he was saying a few things about, he's got, you know, a team to clear out, things like that, make space for players if we can. But other than that, you know, as I say, he's maybe going to have to look at it after the last couple of games and decide, you know, who he wants to keep and who he wants ready.
Some further news coming out regarding the Aberdeen game was that Millwall have decided to appeal Stephen McManus's sending off. Absolute Willie Collum at his best yesterday. The ball's clearly, it's the least deliberate handball ever, but he couldn't wait to bring out his red card. John, this guy's meant to be our best referee.
He's not having a great season at all. It's definitely not a penalty. If you saw his decisions last week as well, I saw some of them in the St Mirren Kilmarnock game, I think it was, and he's got two. He's given Kilmarnock two penalties that weren't penalties. He gave St Mirren one at the end that wasn't a penalty, and he sent off a guy for nothing. So he's got form, so it beggars belief he'll got another big game after it. You know, anybody else would have been kind of sent down to maybe do a lower league game or even given a week off or something to kind of calm down. Because I think St Mirren have been appealing decision against them as well. So, definitely not a penalty. And not to say that we would have went on and got anything from the game necessarily, but, you know, you never know. We could have, for the last kind of 20 minutes, we kept the ball in there half really well. And Dom Thomas was on looking good, getting balls into the box. Who knows what could have happened, but at 2-0, that's it. Game's dead, isn't it?
Buster, that was one of the positives that came out of the Aberdeen game. Again, Thomas gets his chance. Looked very, very hungry, very, very direct, confident. It really beggars belief why he's not getting the chance to perform at a regular level, because he's shown that he's hungry and he seems to be good enough as well.
To be fair, as you say, he's coming on there. He's not afraid to run at players, so he's looking very good actually. I think, you know, the sort of crosses he put in two or three crosses yesterday, and I think that's the sort of things that John Sutton would be looking to go on the end of. You know, you might not have got there because he's having a stinker this year, but that's just what I was thinking, obviously, because Sutton had gone off at that point. I seen Barraclough talking about him as well in his post-match interview, and I think, you know, what he said about him was bang on as well. He's not one to just throw him in there and hope for the best. He's wanting to ease him in, but he said he's, you know, he's eager to get involved. So, you know, that's something good as well. And he does look as if he's gonna have a big part to play.
Jay, that's what gets to me. You've got a young boy coming in, looking so keen, so up for doing well, and then you've got some professionals that have been at the club for a while. You've got other guys that clearly have ability, but just don't seem to be pulling their weight. Don't seem interested. Are up for the heat of the battle. I don't know whether this stems from Stuart McCall's time at the club, but it feels like a lot of complacency is sitting. There's guys with attitudes that are all wrong. They're getting shown up by the young boys, aren't they?
Well, yeah, I mean, as I keep banging on about, I think the mentality for a lot of players is poor. I don't know whether it's quite complacency setting in. I think maybe we've, you know, had a really poor showing in Europe at the start of the season. We've struggled to put any good performances in, and I think that's when the mentality is shown through. You know, normally when you'd be looking for players to rally around and encourage each other and drag us out of that slump, I think we saw players hiding and shirking for challenges and not putting the work in. So yeah, when you get guys like Dom Thomas coming off the bench and you know, basically being a game changer, it does say a lot. You know, you've got your, we're not talking about you know, poor first team players or average first team players. We've got guys there that should be doing a lot better. So when you've got Dom Thomas coming off the bench, and you know, I think he got a mention in the radio, I think he would have got a mention on the TV as well, because it was that good. It was, he electrified the support. He gave us a chance. My only worry is that, you know, it's easy to sort of go down the route of, oh, young players need to be in the team. As I noticed every time this season, in fact, you notice after games on the likes of Facebook and Twitter, people talking about how X, Y and Z should be dropped. You know, give the youngsters a chance, throw them in there. It's not as easy as that. I mean, the whole point about bringing youngsters in is that there is a mental side to the game. You do need to be ready. You need to be able to handle the pressure, particularly for games that are on Sky and things like that. You need to be able to handle our own support. Let's not kid ourselves. Our support are absolutely terrible when it comes to bringing on young players. So, I mean, you know, you've got that issue. You need to be able to sort of nurture the players and take your time. And I think that given, before Barraclough came in, we were all talking about how Dom Thomas needs a chance. You know, the fact that we're actually seeing him from the bench now is a good thing, rather than focusing on the fact that, oh, he should be starting. We should be looking at the fact that Dom Thomas wasn't anywhere near getting a game before Barraclough came in. So this is good. We're moving in the right direction, but you can't just start sticking young players in. Sometimes you need to, like we did with Luke Watt, and sometimes it works. You know, there are players who are gallus enough and have enough confidence, you know, the likes of McFadden, and possibly Dom Thomas is one of those. But you have to be careful, you know, sticking young players in for 90 minutes in front of the Motherwell home support, who, you know, you've got all these overweight, middle-aged, balding guys with red faces who look as though they've never kicked a ball in their life, foaming at the mouth at every mistake because somehow they think it's beneficial to absolutely berate young players. So, you know, you need to be wary of these things. It's all very well encouraging the young players and being encouraged by them, but, you know, you need to be patient with these guys.
Well, as you said there, Jay, in regards to the Motherwell support, you know, maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago, they were all wanting Lee Irwin to get a start up front. Don't get me wrong, half of them still are, but half of the comments I've seen or heard about Lee Irwin, because he's missed a couple of chances, you know, they've turned on him already, basically, some of them.
Oh, aye, that's that. I mean, the thing is, you have to be really naive to think that that these shouts don't have an effect. For some, they won't. You know, some players react better to those shouts. Others will be affected by them. You just have to look at the likes of, you know, when Derek Townsley scored twice for Hibs at Fir Park and ran the full length of the stand with his hands up to his ears because he'd obviously played through, you know, loads of abuse. They hear it. So if you've got, like, young guys at, like, 17, 18, you know, nervous, you know, obviously, you know, there'll be their family will be watching, their friends are watching, it's on Sky and things like that. It's absolutely incredible that we've got so many fans that think there's any benefit to absolutely berating these young guys. And it's actually quite embarrassing when you think about it, when you've got guys in their 40s and all that sitting in a seat shouting abuse at like 18-year-old boys on a football park. It's quite embarrassing and it has no benefit whatsoever, but it's been going on as long as I've been going to games in 91. It's not going to change. So you need to factor this in. And you're right, Lee Irwin, you know, I'm desperate for Lee Irwin to score because the longer he goes on, you know, being nervous. I think he's actually, on a side note, I think he's suffered from the fact that, you know, the chances he's gotten, the more clear-cut chances are the ones he's had to think about. He's either already been thinking about his celebration or he has to actually pick where he's going to put it rather than there being instinct involved. So I think if he gets one where he doesn't think about it and he puts it in the net, then his confidence will soar. But you're right, the longer he goes on, you know, trying hard and doing good things, he's offered us more than such. Has. But you're right, the fans get on his back, and that could be another young player whose career barely gets off the ground because his confidence is in tatters thanks to the Motherwell support.
Yeah, I sat in front of someone at Aki's that was telling us the boy won't do and everything else, so he can obviously foresee the future as well.
Well, presumably you were sitting next to, you know, a chief scout for a Premiership club or something like that.
Oh, he was a chief something, but I'm not. John,
I'd like just if it's alright. I just want to kind of I kind of agree. It's funny enough what Buster said earlier on about Don Thomas and the crosses he was getting in. I had exactly the same thought on like a kind of fit, well firing John Sutton. And I know I mentioned him in a bad light earlier on, but I do think if Ainsworth can get back up to the standards that we know he can play at, you know, I'm a huge Ainsworth fan, but the last few weeks he's really, really not been cutting it. But I think there still is obviously ability there. So I think if you had somebody like Don Thomas on one side and somebody like Lionel Ainsworth getting up there, getting good, because Ainsworth's delivery into the box is brilliant as well. So, or it can be, you know. So I think if you have that and you have somebody like Sutton who can, let's face it, he's not been having a good season at all, but he can put away those chances. So it's just interesting that I had the same point, but at the same time, I do agree. I was impressed with both the young guys, all three of them, because I was impressed. I thought Erwin did quite well, come on and kind of hassle the Aberdeen defence, but Dom Thomas looks brilliant. He looks raw though, and Motherwell fans are going to have to be patient, like Jay was saying. It's kind of new territory for Motherwell fans, a lot of them, to be patient. I thought Luke Watt looked really good. I thought he looked like actually our best defender at points, again after a shaky 10 minutes. So I think the future is bright if we give Barraquer time and give these players time. I'm not for a minute suggesting, I know a lot of people are suggesting, get all the old guard out, get all these young guys in. I'm not for a minute suggesting that. But what I would say is, guys like Thomas, I think give him a start against Dundee because he's earned it. And it's his place to win for the following week. And look, we've got to get goals. And the thing that gets to me the most about the Aberdeen game is we've had like about three shots on target and they're all scuffed efforts from the edge of the box. And, you know, we're just really not. And I know Aberdeen have got a really strong defence and it's unfair maybe to use that game as an example, but look at Aki. I mean, we really, I don't think McGovern had a save to make. So we really, really do need to get a bit of creative spark, and I think Don Thomas could bring that in.
I think the thing for me as well is guys like Sutton have went through barren spells in their career and been frustrated at going 6-7 games without scoring. I can remember he was a very streaky striker in his first spell at Motherwell. He would score 6 or 7 goals in a row, or 6 or 7 in 7 games. And then he wouldn't score for another 6 or 7 weeks. He should be taking boys like Erwin aside and saying, listen, the goal will come. But his performances are so poor. You wouldn't take anything that he was saying at any serious note just now, because Erwin must be scratching his head saying, how's this guy keeping me out of the team?
Yeah, I would agree, to be honest. I think Erwin should have been starting ahead of Sutton. You were at Aki's as well as me, and Sutton barely touched the ball. You know, it was that bad, and that's not his fault. I mean, that he's not getting service. He really, compare the service that he was getting last season to this season, and it's like watching a completely different team. And for the first time in a long time, Motherwell fans aren't watching a completely different team, which is the most worrying thing. Like you were saying, these are the same players that finished second. Okay, yeah, I think myself and Buster were talking about it at St Mirren away. We are, you know, we did ride our luck a lot last season. I think Motherwell fans need to understand that as well. We did get a lot of 1-0 wins, and we did get a lot of kind of scrappy, maybe had about 4 or 5 shots on goal, and the other team had had about 12, and we managed to get the 3 points. So I think there was signs that the wheels were about to come off at points last season. I just didn't think anybody thought they were going to come off as fast and as quickly as they have this season. So there's a lot to build on, but I do think having some young guys in there kind of giving a bit of a push, and I think Sutton could do some time on the bench, you know, because his problems, like you say, they've been very poor. He barely won a header all game yesterday, on Sunday, and you know that just isn't good enough, regardless of what defence that you're playing against.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to take many positives apart from the young guys out the last couple of weeks, and hopefully the new manager is taking these things in note. Just another thing about Ainsworth, and for me, he is arguably the most talented player in that squad. At Aki's, he got a kick early on, and you didn't hear a peep out of him. He had a wee spell for 5 minutes in the second half, but he's one of these players that it seems like a complete and utter luxury, given that we're in the relegation battle just now. How did you change the attitudes of these guys? Ian Vigers was the same prior to his injury. Just at times doesn't he look interested? How do we shift that mentality? Because if not, teams like Ross County are going to third part, they get a late draw, but they kept on battling. By all accounts, they kept on battling against Dundee, even though they had 10 men yesterday. They're up for a battle. I don't think we've got that ability and that in us, and that really, really concerns me.
We don't. That's what I've been saying. There aren't too many players in the team that don't. Again, Ainsworth, for me, I think he's a great player. I think, you know, he's got so much pace, and some of our counter-attacks, you know, are purely down to Ainsworth. But some of these, particularly, I think it's very noticeable in Ainsworth, not just in his tracking back, but sometimes when he's going in for a challenge, he's just, there's no commitment in the challenge at all. He just completely bricks it every time. There's no fight. Vigers is another one, a great, great player, but just doesn't have any interest. And these are the guys I'm talking about, the guys who are talented players. And when you are sitting third or second and you're, you know, winning more games than losing and you're creating lots of chances, then guys like Ainsworth and Vigers can get away with that. But they can't when you're in a slump and when you're not winning games, and it's now noticeable. And I've got to be honest, I would be quite content if, I mean, when I said earlier about Barraclough learning more about the squad over these weeks, I don't mean that, you know, next week there's going to be all these changes. I just mean that the rest of this season for me will probably be Barraclough putting things in place for next season, because, you know, we know we've got so many players out of contract at the end of the season. I would be perfectly content if every player out of contract was moved on, we promoted, you know, the under-20s who are deemed as ready, brought in maybe the odd free transfer or loan signing to fill the gaps and go from there, because there are players at the club who are just not interested, and Ainsworth is one of them. And you're right, you can't change that mentality for a lot of players. Some of the younger players, you can obviously stress to them, you know, you can mould mentality in some players, but it gets to a point where you're not going to be able to change the mentality of some players. I mean, Ian Vigers, to me, looks like the kind of player that we all knew at school who was really, really good at football, but just would never make it because he couldn't be bothered, and for some reason he's made it. So he's the kind of guy who, can you ever see Ian Vigers putting a shift in? It's never going to happen. There are mentalities that can't be changed, and I think that's what Barraclough will be realising now. And I think these are the players that we need to move on, and you either replace with players who are going to put a shift in, or that's where your youngsters come in.
See, it's a weird one for me and Vigers, because I know that he's got his critics, and rightly so, because his mannerism, sometimes he does come across very lazy. But the thing that gets me, and I'm not disagreeing, I do think he comes across that, like, he could definitely put in some more effort, or at least look like he's putting in some more effort, you know. But the thing that gets me, and I was talking to someone about it not long ago, was Ian Vigers has been there and done it. He's been in relegation battles, and he's won relegation battles. So, you know, is it an injury? Is it that he just doesn't want to be here anymore? I don't know. But surely, I mean, this isn't a guy who's only played for top clubs. He's played for Ross County and Inverness. He knows how to get out of these battles. He's been in there, you know, and he's helped drag them out of those situations. So I don't know if it's a change in system. He's not a defensive midfielder at all. He's not got a defensive bone in the body by the looks of it. So I don't know if it's trying to, at the same time, in a relegation battle, you shouldn't be maybe trying to build teams around guys like that. But he has been there and done it, and hopefully that attitude comes back, because if he is going to get back in the team, we're going to need attitude like that. Like you're saying, we can't have players at this stage of the season, because the season is going to, we're running out of games fast, and we cannot afford to keep looking, being at Motherwell games and looking on our phones to make sure that St Mirren and Ross County are not winning, because we're that bad. And it's the lack of effort. Andy said, do you know what, probably ability-wise seen a lot worse Motherwell teams, but the game against Hamilton, I've never seen as much of a lack of effort from a Motherwell team ever, and it was quite frankly disgraceful.
Well, just on the Vigers point, the thing about Vigers is, I think that you know, he's a great player. So I think when he's in a midfield three, that's when he's at his best. If we're not going to play that system, or we're going to, you know, have variations on it, if he's not going to put... I don't think that it's a case of him having the mentality in the past and doesn't have it now. I just think that he's always been a bit of a luxury player. But when you've got two holding midfielders in there who are doing their job, then, you know, you can afford that luxury. We can't, because A, we don't play that system, and B, we don't have the holding midfielders who are putting the effort in. So he either has to... you know, put the effort in, and if he's not going, then he's a luxury, and therefore there's no place for him in the team. So yeah, I mean, I really rate Vigors. I think he's a brilliant, brilliant player, but there's not going to be any place for him at the place where we are now, because he doesn't have the work required, as do a lot of the players.
I think that Vigors, to be honest with you, flatters to deceive quite a lot. He appears to have really quick feet, and a couple of times this year he has, you know, skipped his way around someone within a square yard. But, you know, I've seen him also hit some awful, awful passes. There was a game we played, I think it was against Dundee United in the Cup, maybe, where we played Lawson for the first half with Lasley and Vigors. And it was looking pretty good. You know, Vigors got to do what he wanted. Lasley and Lawson were there. Lawson, you know, knock it side to side, forward back. Lasley in the centre midfield, and Vigors could, you know, be that sort of link-up man. And it was looking okay that way, but again, I think all of our problems boiled into the centre of the midfield.
Well, just on the point as well, just when we're talking about the effort, I mean, I was going to mention it there, but it slipped my mind when John was talking about, you know, the lack of effort and having to look at, you know, the other scores. I mean, can you think of any game this season? I mean, I'm thinking possibly the Dundee United Friday night game, but my memory of that's quite hazy. But can you think of any game this season where we've actually looked the hungrier of the two teams?
The only one is the one you mentioned there, the Friday night game that was just after McCall left, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was the Friday night game after McCall left. But I don't think even the games that we won there against St Mirren and Ross County, Ross County were by far the hungrier team. St Mirren, even down to 10 men, we struggled to break them down. Other than that Dundee United game, I don't think there's been one other game this season where we've actually worked hard and been the harder working team and the hungrier team, and that is why we are where we are.
Guys, we're going to need to wrap it up, but we'll look ahead quickly to Dundee on Saturday. I've said it a few times in the last couple of weeks, game's been six-pointers. This one particularly seems like a six-pointer given Dundee's poor form just now. We're not exactly in bra form ourselves. John, we'll wrap up with you. It'll be a tough one, but again, despite even current results, it's one that we can take something from.
Definitely. You know, I think players... I did take a bit of encouragement from the Aberdeen game because they are a good side, and I think for 20 minutes, you know, when we had guys like Thomas on and that, we did look good. We looked like we could get at them. So I think it's definitely winnable. I'd probably, you know, I'd go with roughly the team that finished it, if we can, and in terms of an attacking sense, and try to get at them. And Ainsworth, and I would include Ainsworth because, you know, I'd give them the benefit of the doubt. I'd give them that chance to kind of play away from home and hitting the break and try to get past the man and do what he's good at. But yeah, I think we can definitely, I think we have to take something. I'd go as far as to say we have to win it, because the longer it goes on, you do not want to get caught adrift with St Mirren and Ross County. We've lost, they've gained a wee bit of ground on us. Obviously, Ross County getting that point there at the weekend, they've gained a bit of ground, they've got themselves off the foot of the table. And we're talking about, they look hungry, they look like they want to get out of it. Right now, we don't. So, I know the players will want to get out of it, but they've got to have to work and get themselves out of it.
Guys, same time next week?
Aye.
Certainly.
Cheers.
Hopefully on a happier note, but you'll be listening to the By The Men MFC podcast. Remember, you can download us on both SoundCloud and Libsyn every Monday night. Until then, goodbye. I can only get better, and only get better. If we see it through, that means me, and I mean you too. So teach me how to dance. Can only get better, can only get, take it all from me. You know, I know that things can only get better.